listening to Labrish. My name is Habte Selassie, and stay tuned for Back of the Book that comes up next. 99.5 FM WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. And Labrish returns next week at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers. Back of the Book.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It's probably about 5 a.m., and you're listening to all Let's Hope Our Next Call to the North Pole Can Get Through, Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things on this program, and you can find out a little bit more about what we're going to talk about by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame in the left-hand side of the screen. At the top, it will say Latest Back of the Book Program Links. Click on that, and you'll get to the web page for this morning's radio program. We do a new web page for every radio program. We got a lot of web pages up there. And the WBAI website and archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 98th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we can't reference them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program. This is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story of the past fortnight is we have rocketed back up to 119 followers on Twitter. Oh, the world is all aghast at that. The next thrilling episode of the WBAI Local Station Board will be held this Wednesday, July 13th at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. And a little program note, yes, we are back. We were preempted for a fundraising special last time, and we'll probably have a thing or two to say about that later. And we're glad to be back here on the air. Yes, pitching is a necessity, and we'll have to do some later. And, oh boy, we had the 4th of July, and here's some of what we were hearing. And we've been hearing a lot of it for the entire time since July 4th. Yeah, they still got some fireworks left over. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 554,171,755 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,348,814. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 88,483,062, and the death toll in America was 1,020,529. So 4,917 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 2 weeks ago. That averages out to about 2,458.5 deaths per week. And the weekly death toll is lower than it had been in our last program, but not by all that much. That's still a lot of people dying in 1 week. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. And this was all mostly preventable.
Yes, unfortunately, Arpal, you are correct. The pandemic is still here. Although, if you lived in New York City, you'd be hard-pressed to hear that as the official talking line of the government of New York City. Back in March, Mayor Adams okayed a new color-coded system to let people know what was going on with COVID in the city. And it was actually very lovely colors. I think it was low was yellow, medium green, high was red, and very high was really red. I could be a little off on my colors, but anyway.
Redder than red.
Yeah, redder than red. And this was up there for some weeks, and they were supposed to update it every week, and they sort of did. And then all of a sudden, it's gone now. It's gone, and we're assured that there'll be some kind of better system in its place in some weeks. So I find it very interesting that you take down something that's supposed to be giving information that's very important to people without having something else to go in its place. I'm not quite sure of the logic of that, but anyway, we went into high alert or in May, not very high alert, which I think someone was fudging with those alerts. I don't know, but and the numbers started going up, and they went down a little bit, I think. And then in June, they started going up again because Omicron 5 and 4 came to visit our fair city, and now Omicron 5 is dominant. But nobody ever said, well, now we're going to reinstitute the vaccine mandates, which the city could do, and we're going to make sure that people wear their masks indoors in public spaces, which the city could do, and which is helpful to businesses that need some kind of authority to back them up. But no, we're not doing that because, you know, New York apparently is a city with swagger now, and we need lots of tourists to come, which I understand. But it is still a pandemic, and right now we're having the beginning of another surge. This seems highly unethical to me to pretend that we're not. In fact, the CDC, which kind of lagged behind our high alert, kept saying, oh, things are medium in New York City. Well, now it's high. And they only got three settings over at the CDC, and high is the highest one. Let me give you a little example of what data they did have on the New York City website. You can go to nyc.gov, and then you can look down, scroll down that page, and you'll see something that says COVID-19 citywide information and updates. And you click on that, and it brings you to a page that's supposed to be updated every week. And it tells you sort of the prior week what the numbers were. Now, you go to neighborhoods, and you'll get a lovely map of the city, which right now is all kinds of shades of deep orange and red that is so dark it's almost black. The one zip code that is the highest number of people that are testing positive, hence the deepest color of red, I believe is 11692, which I think is in Queens. Is that correct, Arpal? I'm not sure.
I have no idea.
I believe so, but they're at 26.29%. That's not good. The whole city is at 15% right now. which isn't good. So when you're getting up towards 30, that means a lot of people are getting sick. This thing is really, really contagious. Each variant is more contagious than the last. So this one's really, really contagious. The lowest positivity rate in this city, apparently, is in Tribeca and the Wall Street area. I don't think as many people live in the Wall Street area. I mean, some do now.
More do now. When the station was there, they were throwing people out of the office buildings convert them into condos. So I don't know what the residential population of Wall Street is now, but it might be pretty high.
Well, those two zips are in single digits, but the very lowest is in Mott Haven, 5.8%. So good for you. The upshot is, this is not over. It's not over. And because people aren't wearing their masks and aren't distancing anymore, like our friends in Great Britain who just celebrated the Queen's Jubilee, and now numbers there have gone up 40% higher than they were because all those celebrations, even though they were outside, there were a lot of people attending them and they became super spreader events. So I can't wait to see what happens after July 4th now. And see what happens with people all smushed together celebrating.
And apparently the BA5 variant of Omicron is the dominant one right at this moment in America. And it's unbelievably infectious. So they keep getting more and more infectious. And the real danger there is that at some point they're also going to become more and more deadly. And that could be a real big problem. Or they could, as they get more infectious, they could also have as a side effect something of a worse version of long COVID. Because if it were deadly right away, that would lower its ability to infect because you'd have your people dying before they could spread it. But with a situation where it gives long COVID, that's not going to affect people's ability to spread it because they're going to get sick and they're going to be able to spread it around for, what, a week or two, maybe a little longer? And, you know, then they're going to go into the hospital, some of them. And then they'll get out and they'll be okay, but they're going to have various things wrong with them. They're going to have hepatitis because their liver is attacked, or lung problems, or any of a whole bunch of problems, even brain problems, that come out of this virus.
And the thing is, you don't know if you will be the lucky person to get those effects. You just don't know. One effect you're going to get for sure, fatigue, heavy, heavy fatigue. Even people who have milder cases of COVID suffer sometimes for weeks, sometimes for months from this fatigue. And in New York City, as well as many other places, they've closed down the testing places because, you know, they're assuming, oh, you can go pick up a test for COVID at the library. Well, I got news for you. Not all the branches carry those tests. Not everybody knows that they have them. And this is foolhardy. And I wish people would just know we're all tired. But I'm not tired of living. I'd rather be alive, wearing a stinking mask, and curtailing some activities, then not be here. What is it Paul Wunder used to say?
Every day above ground is a good day.
Another fine quote from a fine BAI producer.
The Russian invasion of Ukraine continues to be making the news. And the Russians have won a victory with the taking of the eastern Ukrainian city of Lysychansk. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it quite right, but Lysychansk, something like that. And the Russians are grinding away at the eastern part of Ukraine with their superior army and all the stuff they can throw at the Ukrainians. The Russians did abandon Snake Island, that island that became famous early in the war, when the Ukrainians had a rather rude response to the Russian demand that they give up, and they made a postage stamp out of that. And the Russians have abandoned that. And the Ukrainians immediately rushed in and reoccupied it. And the Russians then started bombarding the Snake Island. So there we go. And the Ukrainians, however, now have the American M142 HIMARS system with which to shoot back at the Russians. It's a much better reply to Putin's bellicose bluster, warning the rest of the world not to help Ukraine resist the invasion, than some sort of counter rhetoric. Instead of just saying, well, we say this to what you say there, America said, okay, what we're doing is suck these rockets, you know? Here they come, and we're shipping these rockets in, and they're shooting them, and they're shooting up the Russians with them. And so it's a thing of, you want to be threatening? You can be the big bully. You'll look weak. And he does. Putin looks weak. And so he's making his threats, and they're saying, yeah, try it. See what happens. You know, you got all those missiles. I wonder how many of them actually work. There's that. The Russians are kind of a little bit notorious that some of their equipment is like crap. And some of the people are not trained well. Is this the same thing for their strategic rocket forces? We don't know. Maybe it's perfectly disciplined in the strategic rocket forces. Maybe all of their equipment works perfectly and they could really plaster the hell out of us. Of course, they wouldn't have first strike capability and they would hit us and we would hit them. And we'd have a big exchange. And I don't know if it would settle everything in the world, but it would certainly settle a whole lot and change world history. We hope that doesn't happen. But Putin has been rattling his nuclear saber for a while here, and he's being called out on it. That HIMARS system is a good thing. Unfortunately, they can't have as many as they need. They need more of those 155-millimeter howitzers that they've been getting. And they need more of these rocket launchers, the HIMARS system. And they just don't have enough, but they've got some, and they're hurting the Russians with it. And still, I am seeing various leftoids who refuse to say there's a war going on, but say it's a, what did Putin call it, a military operation. And they still buy this idea, oh, it's to save Ukraine from Nazis. Yeah, some of the leftoids, really, and some of them are associated with the Pacifica Foundation. Maybe this is why all of the Pacifica stations are losing members, because the general public, when they hear this, finds it so ridiculous that they say, why should I listen to a Pacifica station if they're going to do this? Oh, well. And it's that time of the year again when we have some birthday wishes for some people who are kind of well-known to long-term listeners. And we want to wish a merry birthday to
Rat Girl of the West. Yes, Rat Girl of the West. Happy, happy birthday. Oh, you can hear her weekly on A Mansion for the Rat, midnight Tuesday into Wednesday. And the other wonderful birthday is
Uncle Sidney. Yes, our own Uncle Sidney, who used to alternate with us in this time slot. His birthday is today. Merry birthday, Uncle Sidney.
Woohoo!
And we have a tradition here, and we're going to do our traditional wishing our pals a merry birthday. as we all know, on our last program, we got surprised by it because our last program was 2 weeks ago. The Supreme Court of the United States overturned Roe v. Wade on extremely specious grounds. And so now there are laws in effect in more states that outlaw a woman trying to do something for her own health. And so what we're dealing with here is also, in some cases, various zealots, some of them are in law enforcement, are looking to track women down by their online usage. For instance, there are things called period trackers, where some women use these applications to track their periods, and you can see where things become different if a woman becomes pregnant, and law enforcement, in some cases, will tap into that and say, oh, well, okay, is anybody among all of these women suddenly not pregnant? You know, and it hasn't been 9 months since they, you know, stop having their period. And they could go try to arrest somebody. That would finger somebody. And some states are also going to try to make it so that if you go to have an abortion outside of the state, that they can still arrest you for that. Well, a lot of online stuff is plagued by tracking. There are a lot of companies that make money by tracking people. It starts out that they track you in order to sell your information to prospective advertisers, because the advertisers find out, well, here's this person. We have a name, an address, a phone number, this, that, and the other thing, and we find out that they like vanilla ice cream. And, oh, if we make vanilla ice cream, we want to get a hold of this person. And so they'll even call people up. This is how you get some of your cold calls, is they call people up and say, hey, we want to sell you whatever our product is, ice cream or whatever. And so that's how it starts out. But you can also tell a lot of other things, which is the really, really big, bad thing about tracking. Now, Google, of course, is a tremendous multi-billion dollar conglomerate that is based on advertising and is based on scraping your information. Facebook is a nothing but that. Facebook has everything you want, so you never have to go anywhere else in the internet. You can just stay on Facebook for everything you want to talk about, ask about, or look at, which means Facebook gets an awful lot about you. And with modern algorithms, it doesn't take much to really figure out a great deal about a person. And so, again, women in states that have outlawed abortion are now going to be in serious danger of being ratted out by either law enforcement or some of these companies. And yeah, there are companies where they would probably say, hey, we can make some money selling this. And of course, law enforcement doesn't need a warrant. They can just say, here, we'll buy the information. They can subscribe to the information and get loads of information and work on it. Well, the solution isn't to just go offline completely and never do anything. The real solution, in my opinion, is the Tor browser. That's Tor, T-O-R. And it's a browser that's built to make it so that you cannot be tracked. Now, a real snoop could tell that you are using the Tor browser. That's all they can tell. They can't tell where you're going. If you use Tor browser and a search engine called DuckDuckGo, use the two of those together. You can search for things like abortion clinics or information about abortion or anything like that. And using the Tor browser and DuckDuckGo, you can find out the information you need, and nobody else is going to know you're getting it. And I'm planning to do more on this in a future program, but on the archives for all of the back of the book programs, I do put up links to the Tor browser and DuckDuckGo, and you can look those up and start learning about them right now if you think you need them. And yeah, I think the Tor browser is going to become more important than ever in the next months. And the January 6th committee meetings continue. And at the end of June, they had a surprise pop-up one of people saying, oh, what's this? What could this be? And the committee heard from former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson on June 28th. Wow. That was some testimony she gave. She testified that former White House counsel Pat Cipollone said on January 6th, while things were going on, that if Trump did go to the Capitol to try to intervene in the certification of the election, quote, we're going to get charged with every crime imaginable, unquote. And Cipollone was talking to the January 6th committee in a closed hearing while we're recording this program, so we can't know what he might have said. They may not let anybody know for days. We don't know, but I know next week there will be another open hearing. Maybe we'll hear about it then. I don't know. But Ms. Hutchinson also talked about Trump being completely out of control. He wanted the Secret Service to drive him up to the Capitol. Can you imagine how that would have worked, to have him with them breaking into the Capitol amid Hang Mike Pence? Wow. Of course, the Secret Service didn't want to do that because their core thing is to keep the moron alive. And so you're going to have hundreds of people whom they know are armed because they said there are people who are, you know, we're taking guns and knives away from some of these people who try to get into your rally. And because of that, you've got most of these people not coming through the metal detectors. And Trump is saying, get rid of the metal detectors. I want them all to come in, because he wanted the crowd to look bigger. You know, he's got this obsession. And so they knew that there were armed people there with guns and knives and whatever else. And the Secret Service is not going to have the President of the United States hang around cheek to jowl with these idiots. And they knew that whatever number of Secret Service agents went with him, there would be a number of problems. One, the Secret Service agents would be accessories to a crime, because he would have broken in there and it would have been a crime, and they would have been accessories because they would have had to have been completely around him. And two, they couldn't prevent all that many people from pressing close to him. What do they do? And, you know, so the Secret Service is pressed physically right up against Trump, as is a crowd surge toward Trump. They can't protect him in that. He could even get injured by simply being crushed by the crowd. And maybe he would be on steps, and he can hardly walk on steps anyway. And, you know, blam, there he goes. So the Secret Service, when they got in the vehicle, said, no, we're not going there. And he starts yelling at them. And allegedly, from Ms. Hutchinson, she was told by another Secret Service person that he lunged for the wheel of the vehicle, tried to grab it so he could force them to drive him to the Capitol. And when they stopped him, he lunged at the Secret Service guy. Isn't one of those Secret Service guys resigning at this point in time? I think one of them is resigning. Anyway, so there's this wild story of what was going on, and we've heard some unknown anonymous Secret Service people are saying it never happened. We're hearing some others have said, oh, that happened. So we don't know. I don't know if Cipollone was in the car and can answer to that, but he can certainly answer to his idea that, yeah, we could be charged with every crime imaginable. So this Tuesday could be interesting. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. And we've had mass shootings this past fortnight. When don't we have mass shootings anymore? We've had well over 300 so far this year. We're on track to have over 600 for the year. And this past fortnight, we had a couple of high-profile ones. Some guy who looks nuts to me got on top of a building in the Highland Park suburb of Chicago and started shooting with his AR-15 type rifle. 7 people are dead and dozens are wounded. He actually drove away. He got away from this, and he was going to kill more people at a parade, another 4th of July parade, at another small town or suburb. But he didn't do it. He went there. He didn't do it because, according to the police who interrogated him, he hadn't planned it out enough. More thoughts and prayers from the usual people who think that this kind of thing should be normal, and that saying, "My thoughts and prayers are with you," really is enough, and that's it. We'll just move on. Meanwhile, not far away, with about zero notice, the death toll for July 4th in Chicago was 10, with many more wounded. So nobody's paying attention to that because it's not this kind of thing, but it's the steady stuff that you're getting in Chicago and that we also get here in New York City. That right-wing nutcase, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's in Congress, said that the mass shooting in Highland Park, Illinois, and Philadelphia on July 4th, with all of the deaths and life-changing wounds, Ms. Green said, quote, "Two shootings on July 4th, one in a rich white neighborhood and the other at a fireworks display. It almost sounds like they were designed to make Republicans go along with more gun control," unquote. Yeah, I said she was a nutcase. She then adds, quote, "We didn't see that at all the pride parades in the month of June," unquote. I suspect that she was probably hoping that that would happen. She was probably saying, oh boy, I can't wait to see, you know, somebody doing a mass shooting at a gay pride march or something. Oh, Jesus Christ. She was probably hoping for that, but they didn't happen. Why? Because people know that there are those, including her followers and her fellow Trumpoids, who want to murder gay people. So they say, let's look out here. Whereas in a small town or a suburb, they're having a 4th of July thing. Nobody ever thinks that somebody's going to attack that. So they take no real precautions, which lets a nutcase climb a fire escape, get on top of a building, which is only like a 2 or 3 story building, and use that as the coin from which he starts emptying his rifles at people. Yeah, she was really hoping that would happen. Meanwhile, Mojo's Lounge and Bar, about 20 miles west of Sacramento, California, canceled Drag Queen Happy Hour, a show that they were going to have celebrating the end of Gay Pride Month, of Pride Month, LGBT plus infinity. And they were going to have that, and they had to cancel it at the end of the month, quote, due to increased threats of violence, unquote. And even though the event was canceled, an anti-LGBT plus infinity group, allegedly Proud Boys members, tried to storm the bar. The bar's owner, Christina Hayes, said, quote, "The aggressors kind of showed up. We had the doors locked and closed, but when someone tried to leave, they tried to force their way in. And then there was pepper spray, which doesn't work in an inside environment," unquote. The Woodland Police Department confirmed that the attack took place and that these guys were trying to force their way in. In other similar news, 31 members of a right-wing group that calls itself the Patriot Front were arrested in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, because they were going to attack the Pride March in that town. Not very big one, I suppose, but that's what they had, and they were going to attack it. Kootenai County Sheriff Bob Norris said, quote, "It appears these people did not come here to engage in peaceful events," unquote. This right-wing mob had planned on attacking the people who were participating in the Pride events. This Patriot Front group reportedly consists of white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and obviously anti-gay bigots. Some patriots! Of the 31 arrested, 30 had come from other states to get a chance to attack LGBT plus infinity people. They were wearing something close to a uniform, and they all had masks and often sunglasses on to keep from being identified by anyone whom they attacked. Coeur d'Alene police said a concerned citizen spotted the group piling into a U-Haul with riot gear and at least one smoke grenade. So the person called the cops. That's good. The tipster described the group of bigots as, quote, "like a little army loading up into the vehicle," unquote. Police said that all 31 anti-gay bigots would be charged with conspiracy to riot, which is a misdemeanor. The organizers of the Pride in the Park event told the local CBS affiliate that they thought it was the largest Pride event in the region's history. So, victory for them. Coeur d'Alene Police Chief Lee White said that after the arrests, the police had received 149 calls about the incident, and about half of them were from, quote, "individuals in our community who are happy to give us their name and tell us that they are proud of the work we did, and the other 50%, who are completely anonymous, who want nothing more than to scream and yell at us and use some really choice words, offered death threats against myself and other members of the police department merely for doing our jobs," unquote. The police said that one call apparently came from Norway. I suppose that Marjorie Taylor Greene would find that Patriot Front group's actions quite acceptable. In the wake of the Uvalde, Texas, and Highland Park, Illinois mass murders, Republican Jared Patterson of the Texas House of Representatives announced that he would, quote, "be introducing legislation next session to ban minors from using social media," unquote. And he said that it was, quote, "long past time to recognize the incredible harm social media is doing to the mental health of young Texans," unquote. He later said, quote, "I look forward to having an open conversation with my constituents and my colleagues next session about raising the minimum age for social media from 13 years old to 18 years old," unquote. What a schmuck. Yeah, this is his answer to mass murders, is to make it so kids have to be 18 to go online. So the kids can't go online, but they can still have guns in Texas. Guns don't kill people. The internet kills people. Jesus Christ. Wow. Talk about really being a clueless moron. Here's another one. On July 5th, after the July 4th mass murders, the Dallas Cowboys football team announced their partnership with the Black Rifle Coffee Company. The company is based in Salt Lake City, Utah, and sells coffee flavors with names including, quote, AK-47 Espresso Brand, unquote, and Silencer Smooth Coffee Rounds, unquote, and the really, really obviously sick one, quote, Murdered Out Coffee Roast, unquote. The Dallas Cowboys and the Black Rifle Coffee Company say that this is a great partnership, and apparently they do not see any negative messages in the wake of the recent mass murders. So this is happening in Texas weeks after the Uvalde mass murders, the day after the Highland Park mass murders, and, oh, you know, some people just don't connect to the rest of the world well at all. And I guess the Dallas Cowboys are among those people.
Well, dear listeners, every Saturday morning, since the pandemic started, I've been calling my parents. And my parents, of course, live in the land to the north of us. And unfortunately, I believe their phone is run by the Rogers Company, which is it's one of the two big companies in Canada, Rogers and Bell Telephone. And they run internet and phone and ATMs and all kinds of things. And unfortunately, Rogers, its whole system went down on Friday. And that meant parts of the government couldn't do their business, banks couldn't do their business, people had no internet service, no phones, couldn't call 911, had to find somebody who had a different service if you needed to call 911. And this seems awful to me. Apparently it slowed down 75% of the internet in Canada, which is quite something. So, as of right now, I'm not certain whether they've gotten this fixed or not. I do know that it's not the first time it happened, because last April, 2021, same thing happened. There they said it was a software problem. This time it was some kind of a problem with updating something. So I am not well-versed in the technicalities of this kind of stuff, but I do know that they shouldn't be having problems like this. I'll let you know if I ever get through to my folks.
Updates can do all sorts of things if you aren't right on them. This sounds like an amateur operation. I'm sure it's professional since it's so big, but really, somebody has dropped the ball. Oh, we got a pitch. Yes, WBAI needs to get some dough here, and they need us to raise some dough. And what we need is for you to get up and go to your phone and dial 1-212-209-2950. And when the call center picks up, tell them you want to make a donation in the name of Back of the Book to the Tower Fund. Yeah, WBAI has to pay close to $17,000 a month to Four Times Square in order to keep going. And this is quite a bill for BAI. We have a hard time paying it. And we once again need to ask all of you to help us pay this specifically, because if we can't pay this, they take us off the air. Yes, it isn't like the old days with the Empire State Building where they just bill you more and then you are in arrears to that, which we did for half a century or more. And they say, we're not going to play that. This is the 21st century, and we are not a charitable institution. And so in the contract, I have heard, I haven't seen the contract, I have heard, it's written that if we get 3 months behind, they cut us off. And we don't get back on again until we've paid the 3 months we're in arrears. So 1-212-209-2950 is the number to call. And, you know, management wants us to get BAI buddies and donations for the Tower Fund. And, well, management says that, you know, they had a special in this time slot a week ago. And, well, it didn't make a penny. Of course, they had somebody on there who claimed to know all about cancer. And I have said for years, there's nobody at BAI who can cure cancer. And so they didn't make any money with that. And management says that the Nielsens show that this radio program has zero listeners with a 0.0 share, which is the ratings stuff. This is ratings like with everything else, like with TV and everything else. We have ratings, and our ratings show that we have zero listeners and a 0.0 share. That's not good. So We got to show management we do have listeners. And the only way we can do it, the only way we can contradict the Nielsens, which, you know, there are a lot of reasons why it can look like that. The only way we can counter that is to get you to call 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to become a member of WBAI. I want to make a donation in name of Back of the Book. And if you would like to write to us and tell us that you've done so, that would be good. You can write to me, rpm at glib.com. That's rpm at sign, glib.com. Write to us there, and we'll say, aha, we have a member. So 1-212-209-2950. Get it away, Nielsens. We're really here. You don't think we're here? Go yourself. Yes, here we are, and we're really here, and we want you to call 1-212-209-2950. Oh, we got to have people do this stuff. We got to have people do this stuff now. And we really, really do need to have people calling in 1-212-209-2950. And we had some science stuff that we had all prepped up here, but, you know, with the press of 1-212-209-2950. Yes, I'll get it right eventually. And call that number and say you want to become either a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, or you want to make a one-time donation. If you donate $25 or more, you become a member of BAI and you can vote in the upcoming election. And no matter what amount of money you give, we will be able to pay the bill at the transmitter site. Without that, we can't do anything. 1-212-209-2950. Get on the Back of the Book railroad train and say, yes, I want to get to help WBAI to stay 50. Yes, become a passenger on the WBAI Express. Or at least the Toonerville trolley version that is Back of the Book. Hey, what's that out there? Oh, no. Oh, it's the Nielsen cow. The Nielsen cow is on the railroad tracks. You know, if you can donate, you can tell the Nielsen cow that, hey, management, look, we do have listeners on Back of the Book. And we can come along and get the hell off the tracks, Nielsen cow. And you can say, here's my money to get the Nielsen cow off the tracks. Get that Nielsen cow out of there. Oh, there it goes. Well, we bash the Nielsen cow. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. Call us now and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, or you just want to make a one-time donation to the Tower Fund. This is for the Tower Fund so that we can pay that big bill. And management wants to get enough money that we can pay the bill for some more months. And yeah, we tried that at the end of last year, the beginning of this year. We didn't raise enough. Well, that's why we have to come back now and raise more. 1-212-209-2950. Please get on the WBAI and Back of the Book train and say, you want to get on here and knock over to Nielsen Cow and tell management you are a listener. And I hope you're all doing that. Thank you tremendously. That's 1-212-209-2950. And we thank you if you are calling or have called that number. I must say, Thursday was a tough day for prime ministers. Yes, Boris Johnson finally had to walk away from it, although he's not really walking away from it. He's going to hang on there so that he can continue to have the perk of a house in the country somewhere, the prime minister's house that you can bet that that's not some shabby joint. And he wants to have a wedding there on July 30th. So I don't know. I wonder if he's like charging people to come into it or something. It's just such so many scandals there. And of course, Shinzo Abe, he had an even worse time as an ex-prime minister on Thursday. He got shot and killed. Yeah, this guy's been revising history and I guess promoting the greater East Asian prosperity sphere. And he was not a good guy. He wanted to get all the history books in Japan to whitewash, World War II and all the wonderful stuff that Japan had been doing in Korea and China in the 30s. So, yeah, it was a rough day for prime ministers on Thursday. So we can all be glad we're not prime ministers. That does it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is
Arts Express with Prairie Miller.
We should be back here next week, and we're going to look out the window and enjoy early July and the still quite late sunsets and enjoy the weather as best we can. We are going to see if we can get out of the house this month. You should try that, too. Be careful with things. So, yeah, look out the window, enjoy the sunlight, and above all, remember what that looking forward to testimony that may put Donald Trump in prison Dormouse said.
Local Station Board, the Pacifica Foundation Board responsible for advising local management and operations, is meeting Wednesday, July 13th at 7 p.m. The meeting will be held on Zoom, and you can join the meeting by phone or on your computer. There will be an opportunity for public comment. The fastest and easiest way to join the meeting is by using the link on the Pacifica calendar and on the WBAI website. You can also get into the meeting by calling 929-205-6099. 929-205-6099 and enter this meeting ID 922.457.2995. 922.457.2995. The password is 995, like WBAI's frequency 99.5. So, it's 995.995.99. We hope you'll attend the WBAI LSB meeting. Again, it's on Wednesday, July 13th at 7 p.m. Do you have to contribute to WBAI to access the meeting? No, but we hope you do by calling our pledge line at 212-209-2950 or contributing what you can by going to our website, WBAI.org.
Are you having one of those days?
Oh, I cannot even.
No need to. I have spent entire weeks in bed. Oh, and you have a view. Mm. How long have you lived here?
5 years. We were around the corner before. I'm sorry, I should introduce myself. I'm Marjorie Taub.
Marjorie Taub, a middle-aged Upper West Side doctor's wife, is devoted to mornings at the Whitney, afternoons at MoMA, and evenings at BAM. She's plunged into a midlife crisis in Charles Bush's The Allergist's Wife.
Marjorie, I am very fond of that name.
Really?
When I was a little girl, I had a best friend named Marjorie.
The Allergist's Wife on WBAI Playhouse, Saturday, 8 p.m. right here on listener-sponsored non-commercial WBAI New York.
I must say, the city has changed since I last lived here.
Oh? When was that?
Well, I gave up my apartment in 86, but I'm from New York.
Oh, I'm a native myself. Where did you grow up?
I'm from decidedly humble origins. The Bronx, Fleetwood.
Oh, isn't that funny? That's where I'm from.
WBAI's next report to the listener is scheduled for Tuesday, July 12th from 10 p.m. to midnight. Join me, Linda Perry, WBAI's program director, along with Bertol Reimers, WBAI's general manager, for this month's report to the listener. That's Tuesday at 10 p.m., July 12th, right here on Pacifica Radio, WBAI New York, broadcasting at 99.5 FM, streaming at WBAI.org.
Any reason is a good reason to give a vehicle to WBAI. Some do it to avoid the hassles of selling. Some like to skip the costs of repairing, while others just enjoy the good feelings of giving back to their community. But no matter your reason, donating a vehicle to WBAI is a great idea. And it's easy. Here's how it works. Simply call 866-WBAI-CAR. That's 866-922-4227. Or give online.